points. He was discussing
Breitowitz, Tanya,
and what do they have to do with
Krishna? August 13th.
Because at least in the morning, he really doesn't explain fully the evening brachas. Why are they called Birchas Kriyashma? So he says, if the purpose of Kriyashma is to awaken within your heart the love that is already there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the idea that one is willing to give up everything. You love God with all of your heart, with all of your life, with all of your soul, that you give up money and you give up family if that becomes necessary, and you're mafkir everything for the glory of Hashem if that becomes necessary. So the brachos are designed to create a state of mind where you can be aroused to come to that feeling. And he says that essentially the idea is that the brachos inculcate a sense of profound gratitude. The first bracha describes the magnificence of the Pamalia Shalmala, the magnificence of the myriads of angels that glorify Hashem, and the infinite number of worlds and the levels of holiness that is beyond our comprehension. And then I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned all of that because he wants to be connected to me as an individual, or to Am Yisrael as a nation. And then I go further with that, that he expressed his deepest will as reflected in the Torah. And one becomes grateful for that. The Mitziv used to say in the legend that any day that he did not sob and cry when he said Ava Rabba, he felt he would not be able to understand the Torah that well today. In other words, the theory is, again, it doesn't happen to us that often, I gather, speak for myself at least, but the theory is that one's gratitude should be so overwhelming that it should move one to sob and enjoy at the gift that Hashem has given us. And if one does not reach that level of ecstasy, then the Tziv wrote, his understanding of Torah is going to be a little defective. Because one's understanding of Torah is commensurate to the sense of gratitude that one has over it. That's the idea of Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the wellsprings of Torah to those who treasure it, those who love it. That's why we pray. That's what the Meshech Chachma says. That's a mice with the Meshech Chachma. I've mentioned it before, where he was once learning with somebody, and they came to a very difficult place where they didn't have a good understanding. So the Meshech Chachma says, let us pray to Hashem that the Torah should be sweet to us, sweeter to us. So his Chavrusa said, if we don't understand something, shouldn't we pray that we should understand it better? Why do we pray that emotionally we should feel more connected? So the Meshech Chachma gave a mashal. He said, sometimes you have a baby that's fidgety, a baby's crying, and everyone tries to calm the baby down, and the baby is not calmed down till the mother takes the baby. So he says, why can a mother calm a baby down when nobody else can? Now the truth is, you can give a lot of reasons. I mean, this is not a scientific proof of that. You could say a million reasons. The baby recognizes, whatever it is, the mother's milk, the baby thinks there'll be a meal here, whatever it might be. But he offers this as a possible reason. He says, baby's uncomfortable. The mother is so attuned to what makes the baby comfortable and what makes the baby uncomfortable that even subconsciously she'll mold her movements, her tone of voice, in a way that maximizes comfort. The reason why other people cannot do that or don't do that is because they don't love the baby enough. And as a result, they are not in sync with the movements and subtleties of what the baby is conveying in its discomfort. So you see, the Meshech Chachma says, the more you love, the more you notice. The more you love, the more you pay attention. When something's not a big deal, so I don't know, there are a lot of things I don't notice. I just don't notice a lot of things. They don't make a difference to me. Even our own children. We'll notice things that our own children do, for good or for bad, that we might not notice somebody else's child. And maybe that's not good. The truth is we should love every child like it's our own. But, the teva of a person is we make those differentiations, so to speak. So here's the thing, the Meshech Chachma says. In the Torah, there are infinite subtleties. Infinite, innuendos, hints, understandings. But if you don't love the Torah, you just do it to get by, so a lot of that thing passes you by. You just don't notice. So the Meshech Chachma says, if we pray to Hashem to give us a greater love of the Torah, we will automatically have a greater understanding. Because when you love, you pay attention. Watchfulness, attentiveness, comes from the degree that you care about something. So, and that's why, of course, that's why Birchas HaTorah itself says, right? And that indeed is, you know, it's almost explicit in Birchas HaTorah, why the second bracha, or the first bracha, we actually count it as, right? The first bracha is Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Savitzivanu Lasok B'divrei Torah. But, you know, the halacha is, we don't say Amen. V'harevna is a continuation. So it's really one bracha. And what do you ask Hashem for? Make the Torah sweet. Make it sweet in our eyes. That's what it says. V'harevna, right? The answer, once again, is, when it's sweet, you understand. You notice things more. You relish it more. You know, sometimes to chazer something, you know, we say, you know, a person who chazers 101 times is not, you know, on the same level as the person who only learns 100 times. Like they tell a story, somebody, again, this is probably, I'm sure it's an apocryphal story, somebody asked a Vilna Gaon, you know, one of those stories, hey, you know, I was in cheder with you, you know, why did you become the Vilna Gaon? Again, those stories are almost certainly not true, because the Vilna Gaon was never in cheder. But, you know, they tell the story, you know, I was like, you know, we were the same, we started off the same way, how did you become the Vilna Gaon? So the story they tell, it's an apocryphal story, the story they tell is, the Vilna Gaon says, well, do you know the Chazal that says, Eino daima misha shone pirka mea v'yachad, there's no comparison with someone who learns 101 times versus only 100. So the person was no learned, he says, yeah, I know the Chazal. He says, do you believe the Chazal? He says, of course I believe the Chazal. He says, I didn't. I wanted to test it out. He says. So that was the difference. But okay. So once again, therefore, he says, so in terms of the context of the bracha of Kriya Shema, the whole context is to awaken within a person's heart God's love for us. The love in the fact that he wants to connect to us, even though he has all of these myriads of angels. The fact that he gave us his most precious treasure. And then we go back to the refrain that he went, because the Baal Tanya uses very often, Kamayim alpanim alpanim, like water reflects the face that you look at. So too, when I become aware of God's love for me, that awakens in my heart the love for Hashem. And now I'm ready, v'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, to love Hashem with all my heart, with all my soul. So that is the shaychus of these brachos to Kriya Shema. Now the only thing is, the particular explanation that he offers, although you can readapt it, so to speak, the particular explanation that he offers does not directly address Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv for the following reason. The first bracha of Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv, HaMa'ariv HaRavim, does not discuss the malachim. It does not discuss Pamalia Shalmala. It does not discuss Hashem being surrounded by the myriads of angels. Now, the second bracha, Avas Olam, once again, talks about the gift of Torah, and that corresponds thematically very close to Ava Rabba. I mean, they have the same topic. But once again, though, I mean, I think you could still adapt the Baal HaTanya's explanation to the evening by simply saying that the first bracha is Hakaras HaTov, for the magnificence of the natural world that Hashem has created, the sun and the moon and the stars. So you don't have the kenach, so to speak, of the malachi hashares, but you have kind of that other way of being makir tov. You're makir tov for nature, you're makir tov for Torah. These are the two gifts that Hashem has given us. By the way, the Meforshim on Tefillah say an interesting thing. They actually say that the Seder in which Chazal say you should approach Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim by expressing your gratitude for the world of nature and then moving on to the world of Torah is actually based on the very structure of Tehillim. The Tehillim that we say on Shabbos, HaShemayim Mesaprim Kavod Kael U'maisa Yadav Magid HaRakia. So if you look at that capital of Tehillim, you will see it begins with the magnificence of how the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars declare the greatness of God in their beauty, in their regularity, in their complexity and interrelatedness. And then it moves, Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah of God is perfect, Meshivas Nefesh. So basically, that capital progresses exactly in that vein, with starting with the wonders of nature, and then culminating in gratitude for the gift of the Torah. So they say the Birchas Kriya Shema are miyusad. Just get it to home for a second. The sitter is good. Well, the question is, why did they pick that one? There's a reason for that as well. That's Yud Tes. Hashemayim Misaprim. And that's his Torah Shem Timim. Shem Stav Shem Shem Naman Machkimas Pesi. Yeah, it ends with Yularetzon Yimrei Fi, right, which we say at the end of Shemon Esrei, and may the words of my mouth be find favor in your eyes, v'hegyon libi, and the thoughts of my heart, Hashem Tzuri v'goeli. Now, let me just remind you, or just tell you if you don't know, that Rashi brings from the Yushalmi that this pasuk, Yularetzon Yimrei Fi, is the makor of a halacha that you have to be Saimech Geula Litfila. If you remember, this is a very important halacha, that the blessing of redemption, Goal Yisrael, has to be connected without interruption to the prayer to Hashem. You have to affirm Hashem as your redeemer, and then you pray to Hashem for what you need. This is called Smichas Geula Litfila, which is why you're not allowed to interrupt for any reason whatsoever between Goal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei. That is why our minog is that the Chazan either says Goal Yisrael silently, although some people are critical of that, or he says Goal Yisrael and we should finish together with him so we don't answer Amen, because that would be a break between Gula Litzfila. And the reason this is so is because this is Tehillim 19, which is Tzuri V'Goali, Hashem is my Redeemer. Tehillim Chaf, also a well-known psalm, is Lam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid, Yancha Hashem, Hashem will answer you on the day of adversity, which is a reference to praying to Hashem. So in order to have Yancha Hashem, B'yayin Tzara, you have to have Tzuri V'Goali, which is Smichas Gula Litfila. Now it could be, I'm just suggesting, that if indeed this kapitel is a reference to the Geula that precedes Tefila, so Chazal saw this as a marker for the whole structure of Birchas Kriya Shema as well, because this last pasuk is the smichas of Geula Litzvila. By the way, for Ma'ariv, this has different ramifications, because for Ma'ariv we have a little bit of a problem, right? For Ma'ariv we have a problem, because in the morning I say Goal Yisrael and I move right into Shemona Esrei. At Ma'ariv I say Goal Yisrael, but then I say the bracha of Hashkivenu, which ends Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. So what about the problem of Geula Litzvila? So there actually is a machlokas in the Gemara. Is there a chiyuv to connect Geula Litzvila by Ma'ariv? But the Gemara itself says that even if you hold your machlokas to, we consider Hashkivenu, which is asking Hashem to give us peace, as an extension of the Birchas HaGeula, and therefore it is what is called a Geula Arichta. It is an elongation of Geula. However, the problem is, in Chutz La'aretz, among Ashkenazim, we got something after Hashkivenu, and that is we have Baruch Hashem Li'ola. Indeed, the reason why many Sephardim and the universal minhag in Eretz Yisrael to skip Baruch Hashem Li'ola is they consider it a hefsek, an interruption between Geula Litfila. Now the emes is, there are many problems here. Even the Chatzi Kaddish is a problem. We say, like everybody, we say a Chatzi Kaddish between the end of the bracha and the Shemona Esrei. Why isn't that a hefsek of Geula Litfila? You don't say a Chatzi Kaddish in the morning between Gal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei. So there are going to be problems no matter what. I remember I just read this, that the Baal HaTanya put out a siddur. Right? The Chabad siddur is based on the siddur of the Baal HaTanya. So the Baal HaTanya's minhag was, and many follow this in Eretz Yisrael as well, that Friday night you do not say V'shamru, B'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, and you do not say whatever it is, V'yidaber Moshe. In other words, any of the stuff you say on Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tikku B'chodesh Shofar, Ki B'yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem, these are beautiful psukim, but these have nothing to do with Geula, and therefore the Baal HaTanya felt you don't say any of these things because you're being mafsik between Geula Litfila. Now, there's a story, though, that whatever it is, the Baal HaTanya was against, however, a minhag that many Hasidim have, that when they say Kiddush, they don't say Ki Hu Yom Techila L'Mikrai Kodesh. They just say Techila L'Mikrai Kodesh because they want to get a certain number of words.
They also skip Kivana
V'Charta. Kivana V'Charta they skip. So the Baal HaTanya, apparently his grandson married a daughter of a Hasidic Rebbe, and he sent a message during Sheva Brachos to the Hasidic Rebbe that I want the family to insert Ki Hu Yom Techila L'Mikrai Kodesh. So the Rebbe sent back to him, when you say V'shamru, on Shabbos, I'll say Ki Yom V'chilo V'kroi Kodesh. So the Baal HaTanya actually made a deal. He says, well, listen, I'm an old man. I cannot really change my minhagim. But I'm in the process of putting out my siddur. So in my siddur, I will put in V'shamru as an option. In other words, so in the official, I mean, the modern siddurim don't give you that scholarly option, but they just tell you what to do. But in the original siddur of the Baal HaTanya, it says Yesh Omrim V'Shamru Ulumi Shenoeg Kein. If you do it, Yesh Lo Al Ma Lismuch. You have some source to rely upon. He didn't kind of a lukewarm acceptance of the custom. But all of this was because of being Somech Geula L'Tfila. But be it as it may, I'm just suggesting that the structure of Birchas Kriyashma, including the Smichas of Gula L'Tfila, is based on Kapitel 19, Hashemayim Mesaprim Kavod Kel. And this is true both in the morning and in the evening. But overall, the Baal HaTanya is telling us that the purpose of the brachos before Shema is to make us feel Hashem's love for us, which in turn arouses the love within our hearts. So we are ready, at least at that moment, to love Hashem with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And this is defined as being willing to be mafkir everything, give up everything for the sake of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, so this takes us towards the bottom. If you have the standard Tanya, that's the page that has the 138.
So how does this Lam Natzeach makes such a strong statement that they based that? How do they base it on Lam Natzeach?
Well, these types of drushes, I think you have to assume that well, Lam Natzeach is tefillah. Yadcha Hashem will answer you.
Mesaprim Kvod Eil and all that.
No, but Lam Natzeach is the next one. Lam Natzeach is Chaf. Is Chaf. So we connect Chaf and Yud Tes to Chaf because Yud Tes is what you do to before you done, as it were. It's the precursor. So now just towards the bottom here, so he says, by the way, this phrase, it's interesting, I just encountered it in Daf Yomi. I didn't know where it was from. I forgot where it was from. He uses this phrase in a few different places. Ava dochek es baser. Do you remember that phrase? That says, love presses the flesh. He was describing God connecting to us with an unusual phrase, Ava dochek es baser. So I wasn't sure where that was from, but actually it's in above Metzia. It's kind of a little bit of a bizarre story. It's discussing certain Tanoim who were extremely heavy. They were very obese. And one of the Roman matronesses, one of the Roman matrons, basically said, your children must be mamzerim because your wives must have conceived from other men because there's no way you could have been with your spouse. So the answer the Gemara gives, that they gave was, now the Gemara even asked the question, why should you answer such questions? I mean, al-tan kisil ki valto, do not answer foolish people who ask stupid questions. But they felt it was important because they were casting aspersions on their children. They felt they had to answer it. And one of the answers was, Ava dochek es basar, which in a literal sense means the love that you have kind of contracts the stomach a little bit. Now the Baal HaTanya is taking that phrase, which is used in that particular context, to say this way. Actually, it's a very poetic and almost whimsical way of using the phrase, because just as we say, love enables contraction. So he's saying, God's love for us enables his contraction, his tzimtzum. Of course, it's a totally different thing. The Gemara there is talking about physical corpulence. Here we're talking about the spiritual infinity of God. But that's exactly where he gets the metaphor. Love contracts the flesh. Love contracts, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which enables him to relate to us. So that's the origin of this phrase. Okay. So towards the very bottom of the page, he says, "V'zeh shekasov or sha'amar." This is in the second bracha of Shema, "Chemla gedola v'seira," that God has shown us a great and extra measure of chemla, of compassion. Perish, what does it mean, extra? Yisera. Yisera al kirvas elokim shebechol tzvamal. In other words, what is the extra? Meaning, more than he has shown to any of the angels in heaven. Uvanu vacharta, because he has chosen us mikol am v'lashon. That's hu aguf hachomri hanidme b'chomri yuso legufe umos ha'olam. So what is he saying? He has chosen us more than any other nation. That means even in the physical body, which we share. In other words, this is the concept that the Torah sanctifies not only our minds and our hearts. The Torah sanctifies our physical body, which we share in common with every Am V'Lashon. And yet Hashem has given us that sanctity. V'kei Raftanu, this is just quoting the first, you have drawn us near, lahudos lecha, to give gratitude to you. U'perish hayda, what does it mean to lahudos? Yispar b'makarach. Again, he's alluding to the fact that the word lahudos in Hebrew is a very interesting word, because lahudos has a number of related meanings. Lahudos can be to express gratitude. Lahudos can mean to confess, right, to confess my sins to Hashem. Lahodos can mean to praise. So there's at least three meanings. Praise, confession, expression of gratitude. So he says he has another shmuz about the exact meaning of lahodos lecha. Ul yachedcha. Now what does the yachedcha mean? Again, a little bit of a difficult translation. Le yachedcha in its standard translation would mean to unify you. I'm speaking to God. Lahodos lecha. I give thanks to you, or I give gratitude, or I praise you. Ul yachedcha, and I unify you. So what does that phrase even mean? What does it mean, I unify you? Now, one interpretation might just mean, I declare your unity. Le yachedcha is, I declare that you are one. But the Baal HaTanya is giving it a different twist. Le-yachedecha, he translates, is to be united with you. Le-yachedecha. Lahodos lecha, to give thanks to you.
Be united with God.
And to be united with God. That by totally renouncing my ego, by basically saying, I am willing to give up everything that separates me from you, I become united with God. And that is what liyachedcha. Lichlau, or likalel, bi yichudo yisparach. So this is an interesting translation. To be nichlau in the yichud Hashem. Vihine, Kasher Yasim Hamaskil Eila Advarim Alumka Dalibu Umucha, when one carefully thinks about these words, to the depths of his heart and his mind, again, the theme that we always say, Mimela, automatically. Kemayim hapanim lepanim, right? That's the pasuk in Mishlei. Like water reflects the face, like you show it. Tislahet nafsho. Your soul gets flamed up. Again, remember the picture, the metaphor that's being drawn here. In each of our hearts, there is already a fiery love of God, but it's covered up, it's concealed. It needs to be brought into the open. There is a flame that is ready to burst forward with the proper fuel, the proper awakening. So he says, with these contemplations, the heart will flame up with the natural love of God that is already in it. Tislabesh beruach nediva, and you will be enveloped with a spirit of wanting to give to Hashem. Nediva, lehisnadev, and that means what? What do you give to Hashem? Lohaniach v'lazayv kol asher lo mineged, to forsake and abandon everything that is in opposition to closeness to Hashem. V'rak ledavka bo yisparach, all a person wants is to cleave unto the Almighty. And what does that mean actually? Li kolel b'oro. So this is what is called although he doesn't use the phrase here, this is what Mekubalim and Sifri Hasidus call bitul hayeshus. Bitul hayeshus is self-abnegation, nullification of the ego, in which I as an individual do not matter, in a sense. It is only the fact that I am nichlal in the unity of Hashem. Bidveka chashika, with a passionate embrace of cleaving to God. Bechulu, apparently he's quoting, I don't know where he's quoting exactly from, he said, Bebechinas neshikin, this is the notion of kissing Hashem, which is isdabkus rucha berucha. Now again, this was a quote from the Zohar, that when people kiss on the lip, there is an exchanging of breath. Breath is the essence of life. And the breath's touch. So the breath touching is the connection of one spirit with another spirit. That is actually why, symbolically, even romantically, kissing on the lips has a special, even erotic significance, because it is the connection of the spirits. That's why in some cultures, even kids have, some gangs sometimes, you kind of share your blood, you cut, the gangs do that, Jeff, too. We share our life force. Well, since we're not in favor of mutilation, so we do it in a more benign way, of the breaths touching. That's this dapkus rucha berucha. And he says, Shira Shirim talks about Yishakeni Minishikos Piyam, that God kisses us with his lips, kavyacho. And he says, this is referring to the spiritual connection of Izdabkas Rucha Barucha.
Is that in other cultures also you have this, you say that kissing?
Kissing is, I don't know, every culture.
I mean, this whole idea of is taken from somewhere else.
The symbolic meaning of kissing is, it is a connection of the spirits, the life spirits. We become one. My life gets united with your life.
What is the earliest that we know about this?
I don't have the history of kissing. I can't.
No, I'm not kissing, just the uniting of spirits, because what's interesting is that this is not original, in other words. This was taken.
Well, the Zohar describes Nishika as
Dabkos somewhere else.
I don't know. I mean, I think cultural anthropology says that the symbolic meaning of kissing is this. So this is an understood reality that the Zohar is describing. The Zohar doesn't have to invent something for it to be true.
No,
the Zohar is saying, in other words, what the Zohar is doing actually is, interpretively, is the Zohar is trying to avoid anthropomorphism, meaning to say, Shir HaShirim says, God kisses me,